His airplane actually finally arrived here early this morning. In fact, it was so early that I was actually still here at that very hour with a small candle in my hand singing Silent Night. So you kind of get your idea around the clock and when that happened. My son Stephen had just completed a whole semester of study in engineering at the University of Cork in Ireland. And it was for him a wonderful opportunity to be far away, to be independent and to do all those things. But that makes for a long way home. And even as he was getting ready to do all that so that he could be here in time for church last night, it meant some planning ahead. So he got up early 3 days ago and packed up all of his stuff and got things together and kind of jammed in enough suitcases that he could check when he got to the airport and all the rest. And it seemed pretty good until he tried to sleep. And he couldn't because he was so worried that he might miss the alarm clock that would wake him up so he could get on the bus and go from Cork to Dublin where the airport was. That's when, in their brilliance, they decided to turn off the internet through the whole campus there at the University of Cork. So all the dorms had no Wi-Fi or anything. And then they canceled the train that would have got him there. So I'm still kind of smiling, oh, you know, you can figure this one out. You're smart. You've got a phone in your pocket and a laptop in your backpack. But of course, he had to go to Starbucks in order to find internet service. So we were Skyping in the wee hours with him at a different time difference so he could look at us and I could see him with one of those red Starbucks cups in his hand and rubbing his head trying to figure out what to do and how much cash have you got? Oh, I think I got 20 euro and that's a little skinny, but okay. So eventually we realized that, okay, there's a bus. There's a way to catch a bus from Cork to get you to Dublin, to get you to the airport, but you'll have to go online to purchase it. So happily, he figured out the password at Starbucks and could download the ticket. But how do you print it? I'll go back to the library at the college. So he zooms back across town, jogging through, I don't know what the weather was like, but figured out a printer that was still working and, you know, hit the button and it popped out. Then he got back onto the bus and finally made it into Dublin. Now, keep in mind, he's not slept now for 24 hours. And he's trying to be nice. And he's getting scruffier by the minute. So he gets all the way to the airport and finds the Aer Lingus terminal and presents himself. And they say, well, you're going to need your boarding pass. Oh. So eventually goes through the line to get all that done, immigration and customs and all the rest, only to climb onto the airplane and find his cozy seat assigned especially for him. And then the captain's voice comes over the intercom. Well, lads and lassies, it's going to be a little while before we can push away from the gate. There's some technical problems, you see, and it'll be 2 hours at least before we go. Well, meanwhile, of course, Stephen is thinking ahead. Wait a minute, this flight gets me to Chicago, and there's only about 1 hour between when this one lands and when the next one goes to get me back to SeaTac. Now he's been awake for 30 hours. So they eventually take off, and we hear from him again in the wee hours as he's in Chicago and it's snowing and he's looking for another flight, another way to get in. So he finds an American flight and then gets back to SeaTac last night and his mother picks him up all bearded and scruffy. No battery left at all in his cell phone and his pocket's totally empty, but he's home. And he's in bed right now. You know the joy of a mother when her boy arrives. And almost to a day, it was, it was a trip not without challenge, not without risk, not without work. Stephen, my little Stephen, a traveler, a kind of a holiday refugee, one deeply committed to getting here. Mary and Joseph and the child, exhausted and far from home, without a place to stay, batteries low. John's gospel is wonderful. He says, and the word became flesh and lived among us, or abided among us. that this Word become flesh found its place with us. This Word become flesh came to be with us, took up residence with us, moved in with us. And even though we had no room in the inn, even though there was so much peril at the hands of that mad King Herod, even though his mother was poor, was a foreigner, was herself a traveler and a kind of holiday refugee, God took that great plunge, would dive into our lives, into our time, into our risky and dangerous world. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld His glory. There were lots of hugs and kisses last night, or should I say early this morning. there was touch, there was hugs, and there was His unshowered skin. You know, it was just really great to welcome Him home. In the same sort of way, Jesus is God come home. That Jesus is God's willingness to be in proximity with people like us. That Jesus is God's willingness to share our human experience. Jesus is God's willingness to come close enough to feel joy and to feel pain. Jesus is God's willingness to come close enough to know delight and to know grief. There's a fancy theological word for that. Do you know what it is? Incarnation. Lots of syllables, a little bit of Latin in there. Do you know the word incarnation? You can kind of guess what it means if you take it apart. There's Latin bits. In means in. But how about that second part, that middle part, carn? If you've ever had chili con carne, what are you eating? Chili with meat. So incarnation is this idea that God comes in tissue, that comes in skin and muscles and bone. It's a made-up word. It's not biblical, but it's a way for us to somehow describe this miracle, this fascinating idea that God would come, not only inhabit or pretend somehow to be a human, but to be us. And to know love and loss and laughter. There's even an older biblical word, and it's Emmanuel. You say that with me? Emmanuel. What's it mean? See, a lot of you remember the Christmas carols, right? Emmanuel is God with us, a Christmas gift from God, this one who would come and be close. The Word became flesh and lived close. And the Word became flesh and took up residence. The Word became flesh and was full of grace and truth. It could be that there's nothing more than those two that we need right now. That grace and truth seem in short supply in the world I live in. I wake up to news every day about a world falling deeper and deeper into an abyss. Everything opposite of what to me seems like grace and truth, vulgarity and ignorance, avarice and contempt, petulance and prejudice of every kind. You know it too. Still, Emmanuel, God with us, God beside us, God alongside us. I've taken to wearing a safety pin. It's not so that I can kind of keep track of articles of clothing in case I lose them, but I do it on purpose. In fact, there are a number of religious leaders these days who put on a safety pin. It's a way, really, as a kind of a reminder. It's a sign of something. It's a sign that is a way to witness to our faith that God is the one who comes close. God is the one who comes as Emmanuel to live in our lives. It's also a way to say to other people, you're okay with me. That to belittle or to criticize a Jew, or to make fun of a Mexican-American, or somehow do something awful toward a transgender teenager, or to make fun of a veteran. That's not okay. That's not okay. I wear this as a reminder to me that God's presence in me, God's presence in this life, carries weight and responsibility. That for me to be a follower of this Jesus who would come means saying no to some things and saying yes. Incarnation. God comes close. God comes in. God comes alongside. Invaded by the presence and the love and the purpose of the God of redemption. A God unwilling to stand by. A God unwilling to remain silent. A God unwilling to be far removed from the realities of this life. One who will not abide treachery, will not abide prejudice, but instead chooses the harder way, chooses the costly way, chooses the only way. We say Merry Christmas. Do we know what we mean? Don't we say God is with us, God is in us, God is for us? Amen.